Previously on Three of Hearts. After facing the terrifying vampire Veracity, the shaken team regrouped in a suit's safe house. Spar got overwhelmed by the situation they found themselves in and left in an angry huff to blow off steam. He ran into his aunts in town for the Passion Fruit Festival, and Lunavella vowed to help Spar take down Veracity. Meanwhile, Diamond visited the safe house to confront Agent Vellum, who told them that Chrysalis is after them. Diamond agreed to answer two questions under the effects of truth magic if Vellum can stop Veracity from hurting them. Despite considerable misgivings, Vellum took the deal.
So, I think it makes sense to start with Spar then. You and the aunts are walking through Cinder Shore on your way back to the safe house.
Yes, we're bringing breakfast for everybody because we don't know that shit's gone to hell.
I love that.
Spar kind of stormed out, so I don't know that Vellum and company would be expecting breakfast either.
No, definitely not.
Ishbala would. Like, Ishbala would know that this is part of the process.
Love it.
Okay.
Is you got to storm out and then be like, I'm really sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't hate everybody. In fact, I hate very few people and none of them are in this room. Mm-hmm. Except then Diamond's in the room. And then he's like, wait, no.
So one person, yeah.
So he has a drink carrier with three drinks just for Vellum because he's not sure what he wants.
Aww.
And the rest of the drinks are distributed amongst the aunts. They're bringing back donuts and bagels and other round snacks.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Anything that's round.
Circular snacks.
Good.
That's great.
Croissants, maybe.
But like a croissant, like a bagel croissant hybrid where it's like a circle rather than a croissant shape.
Uh-huh. A cromuffin.
Biscuits.
Sorry, biscuits are very important. I'm in the South.
They are. When y'all pick up the breakfast, Lunavella buys a newspaper because she has not left Clovenheart in like 70 years. And she's like, I want to see what's going on. And on the front of the newspaper, it says Boom by the Sea. And there's a picture of the events of yesterday, specifically a photograph of Spar and the Queer Creeper evacuating people from the Bee by the Sea.
Did they get Spar's good side?
Let me flip one card. If it's red, it's the good side. If it's black, it's not the good side. Good side.
Yes.
And it was a success, so it was really good.
He looks super dashing. Also, it was a trick question. All his sides are good sides.
Okay.
I was going to say, is it like a nice shot of his booty or...
I think it's got like the profile. He's like directing. He's like, no, yeah. He's carrying somebody. He's like got somebody like in a princess, like in a princess carry. And it's like, it's an action shot of him. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Only way it'd be better is if Vellum was the one he was princess carrying.
Yeah.
Lunavella is showing it to Brunhilde. And Brunhilde gasps and is like, oh my God, Mary. Look, you're on the paper.
Oh, okay, I gotta. When you're done with that, or did you want to keep it? I gotta send a copy for the files.
You can have it.
Okay.
She doesn't want to put it in her Spar scrapbook.
She gets an extra copy.
Yeah. He folds a copy and like tucks it under one arm and is gonna like, okay. You can't fax it because we don't have fax yet, but like gotta like put it in the manila folder and it's going to have to get signed off by Greggins and it's going to get stamped and then they're going to have to like probably call the newspaper to file whatever. He's like not thrilled.
Lunavella's like, this was yesterday? Are you okay?
Lunavella's
like, I mean, I know you had other stuff going on yesterday.
You know, I it was yesterday, but also somehow feels like it was months ago.
She says, you know, we worry about you a lot, but we're really proud of what you do. This is amazing.
Oh, well, you would have done the same.
Maybe. But you did it, and that's what matters. And Luna Vela does not have lips because she has a little bird mouth, but she does, like, touch her beak to your forehead.
Oh. He feels a little bit like a kid, but, like, in a good way. And a, like, yeah, I'll make my aunts proud.
and Brunhilde hugs your leg.
Oh.
Cute.
He hugs his aunts. This is while they're getting the breakfast, so he is not yet burdened with the cardboard box of coffee in one hand, and the, like, he's got orange juice and tea and hot cocoa.
Amazing.
For Vellum to pick from if he doesn't want coffee. So he is technically offering four options.
Wow. Excellent. Wow.
And whatever Ishbala's favorite is, he has.
So Spar, you arrive to the safe house, which we opens through a little cellar door.
Is Diamond already gone?
No. You come in just after the end of last episode as Vellum and Diamond are shaking hands and releasing. So yeah, that is what you see in this room. Diamond turns around and just like a myriad of facial expressions across their face as they like take in the people that have just entered the room.
So Spar, I'm picturing this as like Spar stops on the stairs down like into the room. And turns and gives the tray of drinks to Brunhilde and draws his sword. And he's standing between Diamond and the aunts. No, he left his sword in the safe house because he was mad.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He goes to draw his sword and it's not there. So then he draws his gun.
Diamond's like, ooh, you brought
Spar.
Agent Vellum.
It's okay. They want to help.
He looks at the queer creeper and Ishbala to like gauge the temperature of the room. Like, do you think seem weird here? What's the vibe? What's the vibe?
I mean, weird but not tense would be Ishbala's vibe.
Yeah, queer creeper's like nodding, like slowly, like yep, this is a thing that's happening.
Diamond clasps their hands together and says, "Oh, I love donuts."
Spar holds and is like, how did you know we were here?
Well, I spoke to Gray Harrington, who's in town. We had a nice chat, and I requested that he tells me where Suits might be hiding, and he divulged very kindly.
Vellum's gonna step closer to Diamond and not, like, grab their wrist, but, like, is thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, did you try what you did to me to Uncle Gray?
No, I successfully did what I tried on you to Uncle Gray.
What did you try on Agent Vellum?
To be persuasive.
It didn't work. Well, I guess it kind of did.
God damn it.
Depending on your perspective.
Spar looks over his shoulder at Luna Vella and is like, do you know what they're talking about?
Luna Vella shakes their head. At this point, Diamond looks to Luna Vella and kind of smiles and says, long time no see, Lulu.
Spar mouths to himself, Lulu.
And then they look down at Brunhilde and say, rebound.
Rude.
Very rude.
And then Brunhilde smiles the fakest smile and just says, my mama always said if I didn't have anything nice to say, I shouldn't say anything at all.
Mm-hmm. I think Vellum's gonna step forward some more, kind of putting himself next to Diamond, not in between Diamond and the Felspars, and just say, I think perhaps you should leave.
Oh, I was planning on it. If Lulu gets all sweet on me, that'll be embarrassing. Now, don't worry.
Should they leave or should they stay so we can keep an eye on them?
Look, I just asked nicely for some protection from Vellum, and the agent kindly agreed in exchange to some information from me. I have nothing to gain from harming anyone here.
But apparently gain from harming my uncle.
I didn't hurt your uncle. Your uncle's fine.
Where are they?
I think last I saw them, they were at a diner. They were just going to get some breakfast before they sought you out.
Do we go back, a little flashback to the cafe, and we see Gray also getting some coffee and donuts?
No, okay. He's actually at a diner. I think that would have been, I think Spar would have probably noticed Gray Harrington.
Is it across the street? We see him like walking in the background?
Yes, for sure, for sure. Diamond says, I'm not a monster. My talents don't.
Spar makes an hand gesture with the gun that's still pointed at Diamond.
My talents don't cause anyone physical harm. They just...
That's debatable.
Make them malleable. What do you mean?
Considering how persuasive you can be, I believe that that could easily lend itself to physical harm.
Yes, well...
While you may not be the perpetrator of the harm, it's... You would not be faultless, in my opinion.
Look, if I were a monster, I could tell Agent Felspar to put a bullet in his skull. But I won't do that. Because I'm not a monster. I'm just looking out for my best interest. Now, would you kindly allow me to retire to my room to get ready for my performance this evening, at which you will keep me from being harmed by terrorists, and everyone will be happy?
Spar holsters his gun and takes the drinks back from Hildy and finishes like coming downstairs and like starts putting the food aside and is ignoring Diamond, basically, is like, well.
Lunavella also like pointedly ignores Diamond as she enters the room, just like sits on one of the beds down here. Diamond just starts to leave and says, if anyone wants to fill me in on a plan this evening, I'll only talk to that one. And they point to the queer creeper.
Ah.
And they say, everyone else is giving me very aggressive vibes that I don't appreciate.
But I would hope that you're not surprised by them.
Diamond ignores you. Ishbala watches them like a hawk as Diamond leaves the room. A very scaly hawk.
Vellum. clears his throat and kind of side-eyes Spar and says, you're back.
Spar holds out the drink tray to him and says, yeah, I'm sorry.
Vellum will take the drink tray and investigate to see what the drinks are. What kind of tea did he get?
He brought back oolong.
Okay. I think he'll probably take the tea.
Did the queer creeper, when did that meeting happen? The queer creeper meeting with Chrysalis?
This morning.
So has that happened?
Yes.
Already and queer creeper came back?
Yep.
Okay.
Brunhilde claps her hands and says, who wants breakfast?
Oh, I do. Queer creeper rushes up and immediately starts digging through the bags to see what's there. And like excitedly pulling out the like cronut and just going to town.
Spar brings Ishbala a cup of coffee and offers it to her and says sorry.
Ishbala's like, yeah, I'm well used to it. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, still, you being used to it doesn't make it okay.
That's true, but I usually get donuts out of it, which does make it almost okay.
You know I brought your favorites. And he will sheath his sword, and then when everybody has food, be like, okay, it seems like maybe the plan changed since the last time we talked.
Yes. To fill you in, Diamond tried to, I'm assuming with some sort of magic, control me. I have to say I was not a fan. But it was not successful.
Anya says, I have never hated a person so much. I wanted to do violence just now.
You were not the only one. By which I mean I also wanted to do violence, in case that wasn't clear.
Yes, no, I got it.
I am not usually a violent person.
Not me, I was perfectly level-headed.
Actually, Anya's going to address Ipswich and say, Creeper, person, Diamond said you were their bodyguard?
Well, yeah, I had received a threat against them from Sir Timby and immediately offered my services as a huge fan, although now I seem to be discovering that Diamond is not the same behind the scenes as they are on stage, and I'm not sure how I feel about this.
No. Diamond was more than likely involved with kidnapping and torturing my little brother.
Ipswich is discovering parasocial relationships.
Yeah, pretty much. He's like, yeah. Yeah, and apparently Chrysalis is trying to get Diamond because Chrysalis wants to use Diamond's persuasive abilities, and that I'm just not sure that would be a good idea.
No, that would be very bad.
So that is why we have agreed to help protect Diamond, so that hopefully we can prevent Chrysalis from using their power.
So just to be clear, does this mean that the queer creeper is openly double-crossing Chrysalis?
Oh, wasn't that always the plan?
I guess not my hope, but not openly, right? Like,
Well, I mean, Chrysalis in theory doesn't know I'm going to double-cross them yet. Because Diamond's not working with Chrysalis now, as far as we know.
Nor do they seem like they want to be.
Okay.
Or at least not forced into working with them.
But Ishbal is going to say, but the plan, as I understand it, was that we were going to take Diamond to Veracity, but not actually let them harm Diamond.
Spar makes an gesture again.
To get some information out of Veracity.
Yes, that had been the plan, was to learn what... I mean, I guess we did learn what Chrysalis wants Diamond for. Yeah, the plan had been to take Diamond to Chrysalis. Mm. And sort of let them sort each other out because, you know, enemy of my enemy is also my enemy, as they say.
As they say.
Lunavel is going to say, as much as I hate to say it, I would rather Diamond not be freely given to my sibling.
Vellum's gonna look at her and at Spar like, the what now?
Spar is keeping a poker face as if this is a normal thing to have said. And it's like, yeah, no, admittedly, the plan was now several revelations ago. So,
I would like to find my uncle and confirm that they are okay. I know things are not quite as simple with Gray at the moment, but I do not want them to have met harm.
Spar nods and says, I'll come with you. If you... And he doesn't finish his sentence because he's not sure if it's if you want me to, if you'll let me.
Vellum will nod.
Spar looks relieved. And then he will also fill in... I think he already did over breakfast, filled his aunt in about the kidnapping that happened yesterday. But he wants to make sure that between like them and Ishbala, somebody is keeping Anya safe and or getting her back to Clovenheart.
Yes, I think Ishbala was going to stay in the safe house with Anya is going to be the plan.
Okay.
Okay. Lunavel says, so it sounds like we're breaking off for a little bit. And then what, we'll reconvene at the Passion Fruit Festival?
I guess so.
Right. So Luna will say, well, I need to just think a little bit about everything. I'll meet you there, but I will be there and I will be helping. And so I'll say, Brunhilde will stay here with Anya, please, my dear, says to Brunhilde. And Brunhilde nods and says, we do need to be clear about the plan. What are we doing with Diamond, if not taking them to Veracity? Is there any way that we can still, like, did we have a meeting point? Can we still talk to Veracity or do something?
Yes, we know that Veracity is going to be waiting in the hotel room of one of the henchmen that I ran into earlier. So we know where, in theory, Veracity is going to be.
Luavel is going to say to Spar, "My sibling, Veracity, I just want you to know the score before we get into all this. They were manipulated by Morpholomew for a long time, maybe longer than anyone else, and by manipulated, controlled, like so many. But when Terra released Veracity from the control, Veracity, I don't know if they either came to believe that Morpholomew was truly worth following, or that their brain is permanently altered by that magic. I wish to believe it was the latter, but I cannot say for sure. And it seems like they never snapped out of it. I hope in my heart that if it comes down to it and they have to be killed, that it's a mercy killing. If that makes sense. The Merim Felspar I grew up with wouldn't resemble the person that we're going to be dealing with today, not even a little bit. They fought against the violent nature of their vampirism very diligently, at great personal cost. And what has befallen them is a tragedy.
Spar nods. Last night, they would have killed me if Mom's sword hadn't done its weird Thaumatera thing. Sword and I have to talk later. I never want to end anyone's life, but if it's theirs or mine or theirs or Anya's.
Of course, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just letting you know. It's important to me that you know. And Brunhilde is like staring very intently at your sword.
I forget when Hilde first saw the sword after it had become a ghost. Did we try? Are she or Lunavella able to hold it?
I don't think we tried.
So Spar will offer it to her.
Well, that's not what I was asking, but yeah, she holds the sword, and it she can't hold it, and says, "Wow, mm-hmm. it feels like her."
He nods. It sounds like her too.
Well, I guess keep her safe, and she'll keep you safe, I'm sure.
He has kind of conflicted emotions, seeing as he's pretty sure he could have gotten the kill shot last night, and this would all have been fine. But he nods, and I think I'm saying it out loud so we don't forget. First priority is find Gray, but then second priority is make sure we have weapons that can kill vampires.
Yes, good.
That's what we want to do before tonight.
That's a great idea.
Good and great.
Mm-hmm.
Brunhilde's going to say, "Well, be safe out there, Mary. You know, you're speaking of Terra. Her birthday's in a few days. I know you know that. I don't know what you have to do after this, but sometime before then or around then, I'd like to spend time with you and Sorrel. That's all right."
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Spar's going to look at Ipswich and be like, "So what are you? Are you staying? Are you going? Do you have things? Do you have creepers to creep or?"
Well, probably I should either go keep an eye on Diamond or start checking out the venue. I got a little derailed my last time around, and I didn't actually get to see much of the concert space or the dressing rooms or anything that might be useful. What do y'all think?
If you want to go check out the space, perhaps from there we can come up with a more solid plan of action for tonight.
Just in case, here, take this. And Spar will give Ipswich his anti-Eye of Kronosava amulet.
Nice. Okay.
And he's also, he's going to brief Ipswich on the Eye of Kronosava so they know what to look for. Mm-hmm. Look. and if they see the emerald, they can heist it, maybe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, yeah, just going to make sure that Ipswich knows that there's this thing that can stop time and is installed in the venue.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that was some very specific architecture they have going on.
I think it's a recent addition.
Oh, but yes, thank you.
On the brochure, he's like, you can see where they sloppily mortared in over on the left side there. See how it doesn't quite line up? Yeah, they did, you know, a commendable job for quick work on a historic building. But when you know what to look for.
Right. I didn't know Spar was a big architecture guy.
Me neither.
Yeah, Spar's a big nonfiction how-to book reader guy.
Oh, that's right. That is a true Spar fact.
And so he's read about, like, you know, the sort of like DIY, like stone fence building, sort of a like how to make a pigalope pen, sort of.
Aw.
That's like them Three of Hearts deep lore. I don't even know if it's ever been said on the podcast before, but you've mentioned it to me like forever ago.
Yeah, I think maybe one of the early agent facts.
I think it was, I made you guys fill out a questionnaire before mm-hmm. we started doing the show, and I think you mentioned it on there.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it may have gotten tweeted. I don't know if it's ever been said, but yeah.
Amazing. Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah.
We got a special bonus Agent Spar fact today.
Yeah, that's fun. Yakko's going to say, yeah, why? Speaking of you getting derailed earlier, Creeper, you had mentioned you encountered Brick at the hotel. His room should theoretically be unoccupied now, and that could be something to check out as well.
Yeah. Brick's room at the main venue should be fine. We just want to make sure, I don't know when Chrysalis is going to show up there for this handoff.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, good point.
But that is definitely something we can keep an eye on.
He nods. Well, I'm going to go scope out with Creeper.
Spar arches his eyebrows at Jakob, like, scope, huh?
Jakob makes sure that nobody's looking at him, and then eyebrows back at Spar.
Ipswich is blind, like, oh yes, this is an excellent idea. You've got press credentials. You'll be able to help us get in. Wonderful, wonderful.
Spar gives Jakob a tiny salute, like, go with God, my guy.
Okay.
Vellum is meanwhile just chatting with Creeper, like, yes, this is excellent plan. He also does not see the eyebrow waggling.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Should we leave this room where Jordan is playing 30 people?
Jeez, God. Carnation makes a noise too, because that's the only NPC who hasn't done anything. It's cute, and everyone goes, aw. All right.
And we all pet the pig.
This is the second TTRPG podcast where I've done a pig impression in my life.
As you should.
So anyways, that's just a Jordan fact.
Deep lore from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to do Ipswich first, since we haven't had any Ipswich content in the last little while?
Yeah, sounds good. If we want to get even deeper Jordan lore, that pig killed an NPC named after Ela. Anyway.
That's right. Oh, that was so long ago.
It was so long ago. All right.
I was an evil character, too.
You were a bad guy. That's why the pig had to murder you.
Yep.
Before we were friends, and now look at us on a podcast together. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to the hotel. So the hotel has a name now. The hotel the Passion Festival is held at is called the Atria.
Oh.
And it's two big old buildings with a little bridge in between them. And we'll be in one of the buildings today. So there's the Feast and the Harvest Festival. And we'll be at the Feast, which is the couples festival. And yeah, so what do we just walk in the front door? Like, what's the plan here?
All right. Jakob, Jakob, the first thing you have to understand, we need to find the closets around the performance venue. Closets are key here for maneuverability. And he's like giving this very serious look.
Okay, closets, got it. His little notepad, he writes the word closets. And then in parentheses, like 40 question marks, and then friends close parentheses.
Spar, more agent, deep lore. Spar gets his little detective flippy notebooks from Jakob.
Aww.
They get them from the same, like, supply store. Jakob hooks him up with a good, like,
stationery
little investigative notebook.
I love that so much.
So, sorry, closets, 40 question marks.
Yeah. So, well, like, I think we probably want to start with sort of the backstage area, green room, Diamond's dressing room, and kind of move on to the stage from there. What do you think?
That seems wise. It sounds like you know what you're talking about, so...
Quirk Reaper sort of smiles to himself. Because, of course, he's really doing a real thing that doesn't involve paperwork, and he's not terrified at all.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's really jumped from, like, paperwork to counterterrorism really quickly.
It was a pretty fast transition.
What is paperwork but counterterrorism, really, I've always said?
You're so right. I say that every day at work.
So he looks over at Jakob. Yeah, so... Have you already been doing reporting on the festival? Have you got credentials to get in?
Yeah, actually. I mean, I haven't written about the festival personally, but I do have a press badge, and most people don't question it too hard.
Excellent.
I do. I mean, no offense to people who do more community-focused journalism, but I do more investigative-type journalism, which, you know... is usually not relevant to the Passion Fruit Festival, but I might have something to write about this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, are we just walking right in? I think we'll be pretty successful at that.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go.
All right. Immediately, someone at this door stops you. A gruff-looking woman, like, stops you and is like, the festival doesn't open for another couple hours. What's this about?
Oh, you weren't informed? Looks at Jakob. We're here to start covering setup. Got to scope out, find the best locations and all that.
And Jakob flashes his badge, his press badge. Kit, can you flip either charm or presence and lying with one auto success for the press badge?
All right. So presence is 3, lying is 0, but I'm healthy. So that is 4. So we'll start with 4 flips. 1, 2, 3, 4. I have a jack and an ace, so that's 2 successes plus 1 from the badge, so 3 successes.
Wow. She looks a little embarrassed and is like, oh, yeah, come right in.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So the entrance hall of the Atria is this grand ballroom. Well, I suppose it's probably like a reception area, and then past that is the grand ballroom. And it's very... There's, like, a lot of, like, pinks and yellows going on. Also, like, dark red and gold sort of trim. The floor in here is all marble. And then the walls have more, like, stonework going on. There's stairs, like, on either side of the room that kind of, like, lead upwards. And then on the second floor, there's, like, a big part that, like, juts out over the first floor. So you can kind of look down from above. Oh, and that part that juts out from above... on the second floor has been sort of repurposed into the stage.
All right. I will look around to try and find the socket for the Eye of Kurnosava.
Okay. Yep. Go ahead and flip wit or intelligence in investigation.
All right. So wit is 2. Investigation is 0, but I'm healthy, so that's 3. So let's...
Take one extra flip for Spar having given you, like, details on it.
Okay, so 4. 1 success.
Okay.
Jack of clubs.
Let me flip for, I think 1 success is enough. Because he literally showed you a picture of a pamphlet, like, so that gives you, like, more...
Yeah, and so now I'm just kind of, like, looking around trying to pattern match and find the thing.
Yeah. Yep. So it's actually just above the door behind you when you come in.
Oh. Always is in the last place you look.
Yep, mm-hmm.
Because why would you keep looking if you found it?
That's so true. Yeah, so Jakob goes, well, that's quite bad. Just thinking of, well, I mean, it's like good placement for a bad person because, I mean, it looks out over everybody.
Yeah. How far off the ground is it?
The door is quite tall. The door is like probably like 15 feet tall. So it's like above the door.
Huh. How are they going to get up there to get anything in that? Like, that's not going to be subtle at all.
That's actually a good question. Maybe they have a pixie.
Oh, yeah? Oh, you know what we should do? And eyes light up. You know, I one of my hobbies, I like to do a little bit of tinkering every so often. You know what? It'd be great. We should clearly set some kind of a little trap up there. So at least either we can prevent access or we can at least make sure that whoever is trying to get up there and mess with the socket has a little nasty surprise.
That's great.
Yes, I think this is a great
idea. Yeah.
All right. So Creeper takes a look around. Are there any other like staff? Like where are there other like staff employees wandering around we need to be concerned with?
Yeah, people are setting up. So there definitely are people around. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to walk sort of back around to the side of the door and be like, okay, Yakko, I need you to cover for me. And then I basically am going to sneak and climb up the wall as stealthily as possible to lay my trap around the socket.
Okay. So that's going to be agility sneaking for your stealth.
Excellent. So agility is 4, sneaking is 4, that's 8, I'm healthy, that's 9, what could possibly go wrong? Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. A jack, king, jack, ace, 4 successes.
All right, the staff got 1 success to spot you, so they do not see you at all.
You don't usually look up.
Yeah.
You know, they're mostly looking at like table level, tables and chairs.
That is the key to Creeper success. Maybe that's what whoever put the thing up there was banking on too. They're like, no one looks up.
It was like, yeah, they'll never notice it above the door.
So what are you planning on? What kind of trap are you planning on setting?
Oh man. Okay. So
if they damage the housing for the gem, would that prevent it from working?
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that makes sense. So yeah, I'll try to basically put a very tiny, basically a tiny explosive.
Whoa.
That's set to go off if anybody tries to. I mean, I don't know what else would damage. I mean, it's not like I'm going to spray silly string in there or something.
No, yeah, that's great.
No, I think a very tiny explosive. Because it's like, it's not going to structurally impact the building in any significant way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So basically a proximity thing that if you get within, if any, you know, I'm imagining some, you know, you've got kind of a couple trip wires or something. So if you try to get into the actual socket, like this thing will go off.
Flip intelligence, engineering, or explosives.
All right. Intelligence is 2. Engineering is 4. I have my trusty multi-tool. For +1, so that's 5, and I'm healthy, so that's 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have a queen of hearts, which for me is 2, 3, 4. I have 4 successes.
Hell yeah.
Amazing.
All right.
Explode that priceless artifact.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, it's probably not storing up years of accumulated power or anything. It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yep. You successfully have planted a bomb.
Very tiny bomb.
A very tiny bomb. Yeah. It won't hurt whoever tries to open it. I mean, it might hurt them, but it's not going to kill anybody.
Yeah. I'm not going to be sad if it hurts the person who's trying to put the gem in.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that person is no longer a bystander at that point. That is.
Right. That's so true. They're a fly stander because it's high up.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you want to, or would it make sense to put a fake gem in there to like throw people off? Or would that be more suspicious, do you think?
Do we still have the fake gem that had been switched?
We gave it back to Timby. Because on the one hand, I could see that causing good confusion of them, of like somebody who maybe thinks like, oh, the emerald is already in there.
Mm-hmm.
Versus somebody who goes to put it in and is like, oh no, now I understand. Now I see that this thing has been messed with. So I can see advantages of either one. So whatever the queer creeper would think would make the most sense.
I think it could be good to get that fake gem back from Timby and have it on hand so that we could try to add confusion.
Yes, I would rather, Queer Creeper, I think, would rather have the fake gem on hand to potentially be able to do another swap if the opportunity arises, but I don't know that he would think to plant it in the socket.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, so that might be a thing on the shopping list that we do after in a bit.
Okay, so did you guys learn what kind of spell is on the other gem?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a tracking spell.
Yep.
It's a tracking spell. Okay, something to keep in mind. All righty.
Okay, excellent. So I will clamber back down. Excellent. All right, Jakob. So the next thing is we need to try and find the backstage. So we head up to the second floor.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and there is a backstage area.
All right. So looking around, can we identify what's likely to be Diamond's dressing room?
It says Diamond on it.
Wonderful. Let's go in and take a look.
So it's like a pretty standard dressing room. There's like a little... like a rack of outfits. There is a little armoire. There is a closet.
Yes. Quick Creeper, like when the closet is spotted, excitedly sort of points and taps Jakob's shoulder. It's like, look. Right there. We're good.
Jakob nods along. Yeah, that's so great.
Excellent.
There is also an emergency exit here. In this room, there's just a door labeled exit that leads to the outside.
Does it look like it's attached to any kind of alarm system?
Flip, intelligence. I'll give you engineering for this. I think that makes sense to look how it's like, what it's made up of.
All right. So 2 intelligence, 2 engineering, 1 for the multi-tool, 1 for healthy, 6 flips. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wow. 1, 2, 2 queens and a king. So 3 successes.
All right. For 3 successes, you see that it is ostensibly set up to an alarm system, but it looks like it doesn't work.
Hmm. Interesting.
Is there a separate room for Sekitan?
Yes. Yes, there is.
Oh, that's interesting. We'll probably want to check that too. What I'm wondering is, I think we probably actually want to re-enable that alarm, because if somebody we do not want is trying to get in or out, it would be really good for us to actually have an alarm and for that to go off. So yeah, so I will attempt to repair the door so that it is connected to the alarm system again.
Great. Flip wit engineering.
All right, wit is 2, engineering is 2, plus 1 for the multi-tool is 4 or 5, and 1 for healthy is 6.
Yeah, that's really good too, because if we need to start emergency evacuating people, having the alarm go off will be really helpful.
Mm-hmm. All right, so there it is. 1 success, an ace, and a joker. We knew that was coming.
Uh-huh. So you got an ace and a joker?
I got an ace and a joker.
Okay, it's an easy one. The good news is you fixed the alarm. The bad news is it goes off right now.
Oh, no.
Just testing it. Making sure it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Clearly. Can I get it? Can I stop? Can I stop and reset it?
That's going to be a separate flip, but you can go ahead and flip me another. This is going to be an agility engineering to stop the alarm quickly enough.
All right.
Can Jakob help at all?
I think Jakob is going to try to help by... getting outside the room and convincing everyone it's just a test.
Yep. So we've got 4 for agility, 2 plus 1 for engineering, and 1 for healthy. Okay, I've got a king of diamonds, and that's it. 1 success.
And Jakob got 1 success, 1 joker. So, okay, for 1 success, you are able to stop the alarm. However, outside, you hear Jakob say, oh, it's just a test, don't worry. And the person says, oh, great, well, I'm the safety coordinator. And then pushes past Jakob and walks in the room.
Oh.
Are you in civilian attire, or are you in Queer Creeper attire?
Well, I've got my suit on underneath my civilian suit so I can climb the walls. But, like, I don't have, like, a mask on my face.
Okay, that's the important question.
And I'm just like, oh, safety coordinator, thank goodness you made it over. Did you know this door was not connected to the alarm system? I had to execute a very quick repair.
And this is true.
It is true. So go ahead and flip charm or presence and persuasion to get them to be cool about this.
All right. Presence is 3. Persuasion is 2. That's 5. And I'm healthy. Plus 1 is 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's the other joker. I have a queen of clubs. So 1 success and 1 joker.
And he's like, thanks for fixing it. Now get out.
No, he's like, thanks for fixing it. He said, you know, I'm actually really shorthanded. Today, one of my guys called in sick. Do you think, I'll pay you. Do you think you could help us, like, check the other alarms?
Yes, this is a great idea. I would be honored to help.
Okay. And he's like, great. Well, I'm just going to stick around with you while we do it. I want to make sure this gets done. It's pretty important. You know, people are always like, safety's not important until, like, something bad happens, right?
Right? Yes.
Vellum would agree if he were here.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is fully our second, like, somebody checking all of the emergency exits at a music venue before Diamond performs.
It's a good thing to do.
Yeah, as we proved the first time. Yeah, no, consistency is important.
Oh, this is great.
Always check your safety plans.
Knowing our track record, something will happen.
Excellent. So now I can imagine we're basically walking around, like, we're checking out Sekitan's dressing room, yep. Like, that's mm-hmm. all working, like, getting the lay of, oh, there's the green room, the other spaces, so I assume we now have a very good idea of the situation of the alarms backstage.
Yes. So it does successfully give you that, but however you are, basically that eats up your entire afternoon. You don't really have time to do anything else because you are... You're a safety coordinator, Junior. You're Junior safety coordinator.
And now Ipswich has a new skill that he can add to his resume.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to give you... That's so funny. Can you give... take a practice in survival if you don't already have that.
Oh, that's great. No, that's very exciting. I have nothing in survival. So a practice is 2 dots. I get mm-hmm. 2 dots in survival. Wow.
Yep.
Thanks. Gosh.
Ipswich learned a valuable lesson today.
Ipswich is like experiencing personal growth here.
Oh, fuck.
Personal and professional.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to cover our bases, that's all.
No, that's wonderful. Hey everyone, welcome to the Mitro. I'm your GM, Jordan Quiverns, and your host and your wingman. Depending on who you are, I guess. I'm not your wingman, really. I'm more like Spar and Vellum's wingman sometimes, and sometimes I'm Jakob's wingman. I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. You can't find me on social media anywhere because I'm a ghost, but you can find us on social media at 3HeartsCast, and you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/3HeartsCast, where you can give us money, and we would love that. I'm currently working on a short story / kind of a novella set in the Three of Hearts universe, and you should read it, and you can pay as little as a dollar to do that.
What pronouns do you use, Jordan? Did you already say those?
They, them.
Excellent.
Essay, would you like to introduce yourself and give an agent fact?
Maybe I'll think about it.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Essay. I use she, her pronouns. I play Agent Felspar, who uses he, him pronouns. You can find me on social media. Right now I'm on co-host at cohost.org/essay, like the thing that is due on Monday, because I cannot leave the internet. It's a terrible bargain I made with a witch. And so that's you know, it's both my superpower and my curse. And that's an essay fact. My agent fact for the day, even though we've already had several bonus facts, my agent fact for the day is that because Aunt Lunavella has a beak, like traditional like kissing like we saw on the like we saw earlier isn't a thing in their family as much as like the European style, like you put your face sort of like next to their face and you kind of like smoosh. Mm-hmm, and so that mm-hmm. way Aunt Lunavella doesn't get left out as the only one who can't like make a like kiss.
That's adorable.
They do like a little, it's like you like turn your face into the other person's face, so it's like a mm-hmm. nose bumping kind of like
yeah.
And it's very cute.
That's very cute.
My turn.
Ewa. Yeah, you're on this podcast.
Oh, hey, I am. How about that? When did that happen?
About a year ago.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ewa Alexi. You can find me online at Ewa Alexi. I use they and he pronouns. I play Agent Vellum. He also uses they and he pronouns. My agent fact today is that Agent Vellum learned embroidery from their gender fluid parent, whose name is Linhua. They're the one in the little photograph that had a dress that had some embroidered flowers on it. So they had done those and later taught Cowlin how to do some embroidery.
Nice.
Bonus agent fact. There's a squirrel that's trying to bury nuts in my air conditioner.
And wow.
That squirrel is a dedicated field agent. Thank you, Ewa.
Hey!
Good job.
I was making a delighted face, but that really
yeah,
it's true. Doesn't translate to audio.
Would we like a Ewa fact since we got a couple essay facts?
Sure.
Ewa fact is Ewa has a first degree black belt in Taekwondo.
Wow.
I got that when I was in high school. And I probably would have continued if life made it easier to have a job and also a personal life. But regardless, I enjoy martial arts a lot. And it was a fun time.
That's amazing because Vellum has a magic glove that allows him to use Taekwondo.
Yes, I actually thought that you knew that and that's why you made it Taekwondo.
Pure coincidence.
Mm-mm. That's incredible.
You should claim that. Kit, you're on this podcast.
Hi. Yes, hi, I'm Kit Stubbs. I use they, them pronouns. I play Ipswich Crowswaddle, the queer creeper who uses he, they pronouns. I'm still on Twitter for now at kit_stubbs_PhD. If I move elsewhere, I'll put it up on Twitter somewhere. Very excited to be here. Let's see, my queer creeper fact. So Ipswich is an elf, sort of middle-aged for an elf. So he was raised, like we're talking several hundred years ago, by a tribe of nomadic elven accountants who wandered between villages offering their services in exchange for food. And interestingly, it was his tribe in Bicycle that invented the concept of the number zero.
Beautiful.
Oh my goodness.
He's very proud of his family heritage.
Could they be called like the Null or the Nil or something like that?
Yeah.
The Nil.
Yeah, the Nil.
I love it. All right.
Because if it was the Null, then it would have to be a pack of Nulls, accounting
Nulls.
Yeah,
you're right.
Mm. If they're the Null and they're a pack of Nulls, then we're back to Ipswich being raised by wolves, basically, right?
Like, yeah.
That's so true.
So the accountant hyena people, please.
I kind of love that if Kit likes it.
Love it.
Sure.
Great.
The Null Nulls.
Nomadic elven accountant hyenas.
Well, yeah, maybe in the far, far, far back, like the gnolls and the elves had like some kind of like relationship, right? Mm-hmm, like maybe the elves especially did accounting for the gnolls or something. I don't.
Yeah, it was like a symbiotic relationship. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sort of, you have these groups kind of growing closer over time.
Yeah, we'll workshop it.
I just want to say, when I created this world, well, co-created this world, I was like, okay, these are the very finite amount of species that exist. And now SA has added crocodile people and gnolls to the world. And actually, I just want to say thank you, SA.
And I believe I added werebears.
Yeah.
But lycanthropes were already a thing. Oh, go ahead.
No, the bear ninja folk, I believe I was instrumental in I don't remember if that was a me and Ela co-creation. But...
I believe that I had said that there were ninjas, and then later on Crimson or someone said there were bears, and then eventually maybe Essay was like, what if they're the same?
Yeah, that's right.
So if you, listener, would like to hear the story of these species, I highly recommend you join the Three of Hearts Patreon, because you can get the bonus episodes and hear all about where these species came from.
Kit, you're amazing.
That's my Kit fact. I'm amazing, I
guess. Okay, all right, great. Yeah,
there we go. Yeah,
it's a great fact. I love it.
Kit fact is that Kit is better at promoting our podcast than we are.
Mm-hmm. This is the longest mitcher ever. My quick fact... character fact is about Lunavella's family, which is that Merim Felspar the First never approved of Diamond and always thought they should break up. And so Lunavella does like darkly think like, wow, Veracity trying to murder Diamond is really staying on brand. And my Jordan fact is that I love you and appreciate you for listening. And let's continue to the podcast.
Aww.
That's how I show my love, is by podcasting more. Bye.
That was our best intro, I gotta say.
It was a powerful one. They say brevity is the soul of wit, but I think that talking a lot about hyena people is the soul of wit.
Yeah. I mean, you always say this every week. And
I do. For some reason, I always cuts it out, but it's finally relevant. Okay, so we're just going to pretend Diamond said the name of the diner that Gray is at, so that you guys don't have to go to every diner in town and hope that Gray is still there.
Okay, good.
Although that's kind of funny, but we're not doing that. So, what's a cute name for a 50s diner?
My mom used to work at a 50s style, like a 50s themed diner called Ruby's.
Sure.
I feel like we could work with that.
Okay, so not exactly that.
But it could also just be Ruby's. They had a little jingle and everything about you being down to Ruby's with your favorite date.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so you guys should be down to Ruby's with your favorite date, each other.
That's uh-huh. accurate. We should be down to Ruby's where the food is great.
Oh my god. Holy fuck.
Is there more?
I think there's another two lines. While we're shoobying, I'll take a page out of Jakob's book and see what investigative journalism I can do.
Okay.
Anyway, continue on while I investigate.
Thank you. I will. So we're in Ruby's. Gray is there. They're looking trimmer than usual. They're like, their hair is like not as wild as it normally is. Their beard is trimmed. They're wearing like casualish menswear. They are reading a newspaper, which Spar's on the cover of, as we've established, the front page.
Vellum isn't going to run up there, but he is quickly walking towards Gray to make sure everything's okay.
Yeah, Gray hears you approaching, looks up over the newspaper, and like does like a double take. It's like, Callan!
Gray, are you okay?
Yeah, yes! Wow, it's only been a few days since I've seen you, but it feels like more than a full calendar year.
And then we have Vellum look into the camera.
And wink. All right, sorry. Gray looks at you, and then Spar's here, right? Is that...
Oh, yeah, Spar. He's hanging back, definitely not looking something up on his phone because it's the faux 50s. But also, like, letting Vellum and Gray have a moment.
The 1950s.
Did you meet Diamond just now?
Yeah, we had breakfast together.
And you're okay?
Yeah, why wouldn't I be okay?
They were a bit threatening and I was worried. That's all.
Diamond was threatening you?
Yeah, and other people.
Have a seat.
Okay. Vellum takes a seat and gestures for Spar to come and join as well.
He does.
Oh, Mr. Felspar.
Mix Harrington.
Well, I mean, pleasure to meet you. I know you by reputation. You're a well-respected suits agent.
Thank you. I've heard a lot about you from Agent Vellum.
Are the two of you okay? How's everything going with Clovenheart and all that.
It's been a interesting case. Cases? I'm not sure how many we're up to now. There's been a lot going on, but I know previously you had said you were worried about speaking over the radio about some things, and we don't have to do that right now, per se, but...
Yeah, Gray looks around at this, like, active diner and is like, yes, this would be actually worse than the radio.
Vellum nods. Some of the details of the case, similarly, I would prefer to keep quiet, but Diamond is a person of interest, and so if you encounter them again, please proceed with caution.
Okay. Will do. A person of interest, you say?
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting, pardon the pun. It was intended, but pardon it, please.
The reason why we're here is because we were following them.
I see. Should be easy to find. They'll be at the Passion Festival tonight, they said.
Yes. We have plans to keep an eye on them.
Well, I'm excited to go to the Passion Festival to bring a little bit of levity to the conversation. I don't really have a date. I'll have to figure that out. But yeah, I haven't seen Zekatan since they signed my record, so it'll be really exciting.
Oh, I'm afraid Zekatan won't be there.
They look surprised by this. Oh. Wait, are they a person of interest too?
Tangentially, I suppose, but they were injured while at the concert in Clovenheart. They seem to be recovering well, but I believe that they will not be performing because of it.
Hmm. Okay. Do you want to take this somewhere private?
Yeah, that would probably be a good idea.
Well, lead the way.
Okay.
I imagine this is like a booth situation. And so since Bard been hanging back, he had like skidded into the booth like next to Vellum. Mm-hmm. And now like scoots out.
Uh-huh. Vellum will look to Spar and ask, should we return to the safe room, or where do you think would be?
Maybe I don't want to possibly tip anybody off who's watching us, so maybe we could borrow a room at the constabulary. Or Josepha's workshop, I'm sure, would also be a good place.
Let's head to the constabulary. The workshop is also there, right?
Mm-hmm. All right. So we go to the workshop?
Yes.
Damn it. I remember there was a butler. I can't remember their name. Anyway, they just let Gray to let you know the butler's doing well.
Okay.
Update you on some, like, mundane life stuff. Like, maybe probably ask about the case a little bit, but realizes they're not going to get anything until they get to the constabulary.
Yeah.
And let's say, well, how are you, Agent Felspar? You've been awfully quiet.
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you.
I always heard you were more of a talker.
If I can ask, who did you hear that from?
Jack, actually.
Spar makes a face like, oh shit. You know, why don't you two go on ahead? I have a quick call to make and I'll catch up.
Okay. You know where we'll be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do Spar first.
Sure. Okay. So Spar's gonna step aside and radio suits headquarters.
Okay. So you have, there's like a, like, they're not payphones, but they look like little payphone booths in the constabulary, and you you radio them. It like rings for a while, and then eventually Gregan picks up and says, hello, this is Gregan speaking. You've called Suits. I need to refine my answering technique.
You're doing great, Gregans. Love to hear it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, this is Agent Felspar. Just wanted to let you know, Jack's been kidnapped. Could you put somebody on that?
Wait, what?
In Stoneloft. Probably, he does the math. In the last day or so, I think.
How do you know this?
He left me a note, but then only half the note was in my pants pocket, and then the other half was in a shirt, and then Agent Wimbledon stole my shirt, and it's a whole thing. But now I have the other half of the note. It says, if I'm not back in 72 hours, I've been kidnapped from Stoneloft, XOXO, Jack, and it has this little paw print.
Oh my goodness. Okay. I guess I'm on it. This is terrifying.
Yeah, well, it's honestly like the sixth most terrifying thing that's happened in the past week. So, you know, if you need anything, great to hear from you.
Do you need anything?
Vellum already talked to Greggins about like getting reinforcements, and I'm going to assume that Vellum told Spar that, so.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, just all the firepower that you can muster to, you know, help us defeat this terrorist movement.
Every time I talk to you guys in the last 2 days, I've aged like a full year.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're an elf, so that's like...
Yeah, not a big deal.
Yeah. Anyway, give my best to Jack. Tell him next time to put both halves of the... I guess it really was good that he split them up. You know, never mind. I'm not going to give the founder of Suits any criticism on his technique, but give him a thumbs up from me and Agent Vellum.
Okay, great. I'm going to get right on that. Good luck.
Thanks, you too. Over and out.
You hear him like hyperventilating before you like hang up.
Greggins.
Greggins does not have the constitution to be like assistant to the head of an organization like Suits.
Greggin needs Jack. They should never be separated.
No, they really shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. These two are a set. Do not separate. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, meanwhile, in Josepha's lab, Gray is definitely just like kind of casually like looking at all the equipment in here as she enters, and they say to Vellum, is this like the Josepha who like made bombs and stuff for Morpholomew?
Yes. Yes, it is. You're correct.
Wow. You've had an exciting couple of days, I assume.
they're quite a nice person.
Yeah, I know it wasn't their fault.
Yeah, yeah. They actually gave me these schematics, and Vellum will pull out the triple threat schematics to show Gray.
Gray says, wow, you look good in these.
Thank you, Uncle. I think maybe while they're chatting, Vellum will tinker with this some.
Okay.
Maybe Gray can give some pointers as well or something.
Yeah, I like that. Gray's actually also, when we're in here, Gray's going to give you a hug real quick and just say, I'm glad you're okay. I mean, this is your first time out in the field. I've been worried about you.
I'm glad you're okay, too. I knew you were on the way, but when Diamond mentioned that they had run into you, I was worried.
That is so weird. You know, this is not my first time talking to Diamond. Like, we've talked several times over the years. They're basically a friend, I guess.
Do you remember what they said or anything that they did while you were talking to them?
Yes, they said they needed to find you two, that it was a matter of your safety.
Can Vellum do like a insight kind of?
Yep, with empathy.
Yeah.
Cards. I have those.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Wit is 2. Empathy is 1. I'm healthy, so that's another 1. We got 1 Jack.
I mean, yeah, they see. What are you trying to suss out exactly? I'm sorry.
To see if there was like anything that they were holding back.
They're definitely holding some things back, but you don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, I don't see the purpose in kicking the can down the road. You wanted to talk about some pretty serious things, so, you know, what better place to talk about them than in the lab of a stranger, in a police station, in Cindershore, the night before the Passion Fruit Festival?
It's Spar knocks on the door.
A safe place, at least.
Do you want him in here?
Do you want him in here?
Not really.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Gray nods.
Vellum will go to the door and open it. Be like, everything okay?
Yeah, I told Greggins that Jack's missing and gave him the last leads I had. Did you want me...
Wait.
To...
Jack's missing?
Yeah. I think Vellum knew that part from the first half of the note.
That he was probably missing, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what was the other half of the note was that he'd been kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he knew that Spar had been trying to contact Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Without success.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Vellum will nod and say, okay. Any leads on where he might be?
He said he was heading to Stoneloft. When I checked yesterday, the person at the post office had seen him, but the person he's usually there to meet hadn't. So we have an approximate last location.
Okay. And Greggins is going to look into it?
Yeah, he said he's on it.
Okay.
Okay. Did you want privacy or support? Whatever you would prefer.
I think first we're going to talk about Max, and that might be better one-on-one, but after that, I'll come get you.
Okay. I'll be around. I'm gonna see what kind of weapons I can get.
Okay. Good plan.
He reaches out and he like...
Does he do a shoulder squeeze?
It's a forearm squeeze.
Good.
And he... He looks at Vellum and he's like, I know this isn't the time or the place, but like, just in case there's, I don't know, another bomb threat or a bomb or whatever. I'm really sorry about the past day. Nothing I said about you being a bad agent or bad in the field. I was too scared to let you come with me. And you should talk to your uncle. I'm gonna go see.
Wait, but
he doesn't run away. He lets Vellum go and like takes a half step back. But if Vellum goes like wait, he will wait.
He'll reach out and grab Spar's wrist and say, I appreciate you saying that. Why were you scared?
Spar looks at Vellum like he's stupid. And he, instead of answering, he like goes up on tiptoe and he kisses Vellum very quickly.
Oh.
And is like, I know what happens when I let you out of my sight. So I'm going to trust that behind this locked door, you'll be okay. But I will be very angry if you're not. So.
Vellum nods very seriously and blushes.
I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And Spar turns
okay.
And goes.
Ah, cuties. All right.
Vellum is book smart, not necessarily people smart.
Oh, we know.
Oh, it's not. I mean, it's not like Spar is either of those, really. Spar is punching smart.
Yeah, I was going to say, Spar is sword smart.
Good.
All right, when you get back in, Gray is like sitting on a table, fiddling with a wrench, not even like doing anything with it.
Okay.
And she says, everything all right?
Vellum will clear his throat, tighten his tie, you know, try not to think mm-hmm. about everything and be like, yes, of course. Yes. And they walk over to where Gray is and sit down and start fiddling with the triple threat again.
Okay. I like, because Gray is literally sitting on the table, so I like the, like, I think the image is, like, Vellum is all, like sitting on a chair properly at the table, so Gray's, like, a little bit above you.
Yeah.
And
it's very teacher having a serious talk.
So it seems like you have a lot of questions for me, understandably.
Yes. What can you tell me about them?
About, talking about Max, to be clear, right?
Yes.
She's a fledgling scientist, engineer specifically, has a lot in common with you in terms of brains. She's a little bit more outgoing, figuring out gender stuff, goes by Maxwell or Maxine or just Max.
Vellum nods. Would it be weird if we met sometime?
No, I don't think so.
Do you think they would be open to it?
Yes, there's something you have to know. You need to know why. Okay? Before you make any decisions about wanting to meet them, you have to know why.
I'm listening.
I'm just gonna rip the band-aid off, okay? Naomi Sandoval, the woman who killed your parents and died shortly after, was my wife, and Max is our child.
Vellum takes a deep breath in and kind of stiffens.
And Max had people to raise her, and you didn't, really? And so I stepped in, and I didn't want to be apart from my own blood, but how was I ever going to make you be the sibling of... It's horrible, and it's messy, and it's a tragedy, and I don't know if I did the right thing or what I should have done differently, and I think about it every day, and I'm sorry I didn't tell you sooner.
Uncle... And Vellum will reach a hand out to squeeze Gray's hand. I can't imagine trying to make that decision. And it's a lot to take in for sure, but thank you for taking me in and for telling me this.
Of course.
You know, there's a lot of life that we can't control, and as upsetting and frustrating as that can be sometimes, there's also a lot in life that we can't control that has good things to it. And
yeah,
while I'm sad that everything that happened led to all of that, I'm glad that I got to know you better, and I would like to meet them, and maybe we can figure it all out together.
Yeah. I hope so. And I just want to say that, you know, while I have questioned my decision to keep Max at arm's length, I have never questioned my decision to take you in, Vellum. I'm both happy and proud to have had a role in raising you.
Vellum smiles and...
There's something else we had to talk about, right? First, I need to confess something, and then I need to explain that it's all okay,
Vellum tries not to panic.
Because none of this is going to matter soon. Let me explain, okay? There's no real thaumaturgic incident in Clovenheart. The spike that Suits detected was faked by Max at my request to get you there to build a radio tower.
I see.
And yes, I pulled some strings to get you sent on the mission.
Hmm.
And what I want to do with the radio tower is unethical. But listen to me before you hate me. There is a relic beneath Clovenheart called Providence.
Mm-hmm.
It's a deck of cards.
Oh, shit.
And when you draw from it, world-altering things can happen. And some of them are devastating, but one of them allows you to undo things that have happened in the past.
Uncle.
Listen to me, Callan, please. I can undo all of that pain. I can... If Naomi never killed your parents, I would still have Naomi and your parents, and you would have your parents. And everything would be right.
And I would never start Suits, and then where would that be? All the people that we've helped with Suits would...
You don't know that. And even if that were true, that's a net... still a net gain as far as I see it.
Vellum clenches his jaw. He doesn't want to fight with his uncle over this, but he doesn't agree about that. He doesn't say anything, though. Not yet.
The tower is going to help me unearth Providence. It sounds like you're not on board, or it looks like you're not on board.
Uncle, somebody already has it.
Has Providence? That's not possible.
If they don't, and this is a coincidence, then I will be incredibly surprised. However, Spar and I have found on 3 separate occasions a card, a playing card, that has drastically altered our surroundings while in Clovenheart. Somebody has the deck.
I think that might be the case. I think that is the reality. Some think that Providence is a god. There's a religion, Bridge. They worship Providence.
Ah, this makes sense.
I'm glad someone thinks so.
Is that Jordan or is that Gray?
That's Gray and also Jordan.
If it is sapient, how could we even control it to accomplish your goal? What if that card has already been pulled?
It's not like that. Things can happen more than once.
The cards don't get destroyed after?
The deck is infinite.
Vellum thinks about the one that Spar burned.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say anything, though.
And Gray just says, look, whether or not you're on board, I am going to find Providence. I'm sorry I wasn't upfront with you, but now the cards are on the table. Forgive the pun, that was intentional once again. And you can help me, or I'm going to do this on my own. But it's going to happen.
Let me think about it, Uncle. We do have a couple other things going on at the moment. Are you familiar with Chrysalis?
Vaguely.
They are planning something big, and it could be extremely harmful to everyone in Cindershore.
Mm.
So that is what we're working against tonight, but I will think about it.
Thank you. And if I can help with Chrysalis, let me know.
Vellum nods.
How's the radio been treating you?
Good. I've used it a couple times. To great effect. I was able to stop a werefolk from completely losing control. Was able to calm them down and prevent any more harm.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad to hear that it works.
We were also able to find a missing person with it, which possibly saved their life. So it's been a great tool. Thank you, Uncle.
Thank you for using it positively. Mm. Not that I expected otherwise. I entrusted it to you for a reason. Mm. Now, I want to go meet your boyfriend. For real. So you should... Let's go. Let's go talk.
Vella will blush and start to say he's not... I mean... We haven't
talked... And Grace is like getting up and walking out the room.
Uncle... He chases after him.
End scene. Three of Hearts is S.A. Monoktola as Agent Felsbar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, Jordan Quiverns as our host, and special guest Kit Stubbs as the Queer Creeper. We play a game called Space Kings, which was created by Kevin Cole and Supertry Studios. You can find out more about that game at spacekings.space, where you can also purchase a digital version of the book. Go to book.spacekings.space to purchase a physical version. It's a great game. You won't regret it. Our intro music is Dogtective. Our special Queer Creeper Mitro theme is A Warm Welcome. And our outro is Ghost Plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast. Support us for any price you can afford and receive access to all perks, including gag reels, the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and short stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks with a brand new episode.
Let's go to Ruby's.
Shooby dooby down to Ruby's where the food is great. Shooby dooby down to Ruby's with your favorite date. Shooby dooby down to Ruby's now and don't be late. Shooby dooby down to Ruby's. Hey, hey!
Get in the swing, where fun is the thing, at Ruby's. Classic food, smiley faces, all with a swing and 40s flair. So shooby dooby down to a Ruby's diner near you.
Shooby dooby down to Ruby's.